This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. We apologize, but Bob Haney is out today, and then Cordell was going to fill in. Cordell is out today. So Vinny Serrato, they went all the way down the depth chart. Texted me at 9:30 last night. I'm an old retired guy, so I saw the message this morning about 4:30 when I got up, and I texted them back, and they got right back to me. So that tells me how desperate they were. But it's good to be here.
Yeah, Bob's on vacation.
Right.
Every year he's on vacation at this time.
Right.
He worked yesterday with Jimmy, and he watches basketball all week long and drinks probably a lot of beer too all week long.
Michelob Lights.
Yeah. Yep. So Bob, enjoy your time watching basketball, and Cordell, get rid of that fever, buddy.
Absolutely. NCAA tournament begins tonight with the play-in games, and I have a friend, Vinny, a Morgan graduate, and he texted me on Selection Sunday, and he says, well, and he said it very sardonically. He said, okay, let's see which one of the teams from the MEAC is going to have to play in the play-in game, because they always do. Well, Norfolk State won the MEAC. They're not in the play-in game. They gave the MEAC a regular, you know, non-play-in spot. But the SWAC, the other HBCU conference, they're in the play-in game.
Yeah.
So go figure.
Well, what did you guys think about the North Carolina? I mean, Bubba Cunningham. Bubba was ticket dude at Notre Dame when I was there.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he was a kiss-ass then, you know. So Bubba, you know, the athletic director at North Carolina, bad look, you know, with the bonuses that he's getting, you know, with his team getting in and stuff. That was a bad, bad look. And when you look at the numbers, West Virginia should have been in.
Did you see their governor?
Yes.
He's getting involved. What could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. But tonight, St. Francis and Alabama State from the SWAC in one play-in game, North Carolina, San Diego State, and the other. Carolina shouldn't be in. Carolina's in because of reputation and history.
And their AD was the head of the committee.
Yeah.
You know, which, convenient. To me, total BS. And the thing about it is, I pick San Diego State because I don't think North Carolina should be in, so I want them out anyhow.
Yeah, well, and it might happen. So those are the two games tonight, and then the other two play-in games are tomorrow, and the tournament gets back underway on Thursday. And on Wednesday, a lot of local interest, Vinny. Mount St. Mary's, which is not that far, Emmitsburg, and American, coached by former Maryland star Dwayne Simpkins, that's going to have a lot of eyeballs in this area, I predict, tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Local, the local people will be happy. I've never seen either one play. You know, Nolan, have you watched them at all?
No. Anybody saying otherwise, unless you're a graduate, alum.
I saw the last 10 minutes of American because I wanted to see Simpkins. You know, I wanted to see if
was that a good movie? The American?
Well, it's been a good movie to them down there, that's for sure. And then the other game tomorrow night, Xavier in Texas. Vinny, Texas, very much like North Carolina. Probably didn't belong in, but they're in.
Well, there doesn't seem to be the bitching and complaining, you know, about Texas as there is North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina had, what, one win,
mm-hmm.
you know, compared to West Virginia 6 or whatever, but they had a bunch of quad 2 wins.
Oddly enough, they're actually favored to beat San Diego State tonight.
Yeah.
So, are they really?
Yeah, by 4.5.
I tell you what, I like High Point over Purdue a lot on Thursday. High Point, they're riding high. And then I noticed their women are in the tournament as well. What a year at High Point. That's really something.
Hey, Nolan, since I wasn't here yesterday, let me ask you, because I was watching that Terp game on Sunday. How do they let the dude go end-to-end with five? And nobody even, you know, there's only one dude that is fast enough, good enough to go end-to-end, and they let him get the ball, and they let him dribble it all by himself.
Drew up a solid play there, but still, if you're Maryland, I mean, as soon as he got to half court, I'm watching on the TV, I'm saying, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Because
right.
I know what's about to happen.
No doubt. Me too.
Him making it to half court as fast as he did, it was over right then.
The impression that I got is, number one, they thought they had to game one, and number two, they were tired. And they didn't get in front of that guy fast enough. I really think that had a lot to do with it.
But after being in this situation three other times prior, this is your fourth buzzer beater loss. Yeah. All four of your last four losses are at the buzzer like this. You've been in this situation. It's not unfamiliar territory to let that happen. Ugh.
How about double? You could have doubled him. You know, the one guy you don't want, what, Donald? Mm-hmm. You know, the guy you don't want the ball? Yeah. He looked like he could play DB there.
And Maryland fans looked at that championship game Sunday, and they thought, rightfully, I think, that Maryland could have won the Big Ten championship. They could have, but it didn't happen. The other big news this week, and we'll have plenty more on the tournament, obviously, but Vinny, I wanted to make sure we talked about Ronnie Stanley right off the top here. I was filling in, I think I was doing the more, no, I was filling in with you. When Eric DaCosta spoke at the Combine. Mm-hmm. And we sat here and listened to him live. And you could tell when he was talking that day that he fully expected to sign Ronnie Stanley.
Oh, it was done. You know, it seemed like it was done. You know, and Harb's talked later that day and basically said the same thing. So it sounded like they were close to an agreement at that time, if not one. And it looked like Ronnie got the same deal that they were, you know, the 20 mil. And he could have had better offers from others. But why? You know, I mean, I could understand, you know, Kansas City, but I wouldn't understand New England. You know, that's just going for the money. And he's been here his whole career, so there's loyalty there.
Yep.
He must like George Warhop, the O-line coach, and he had a hell of a year. And he's got a quarterback that protects him, you know, saves him sacks, makes him look that much better. So I think it's a good. I mean, the dude's made over $200 million.
I was going to say, he got a max contract already. If that's
what
you
get. He was getting $25 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
He got $150 million, and then now he just got $60 more million. So he's making over $200 million.
Shed no tears. Did free agency ever intrigue Ronnie Stanley? He talked about that.
I was open to whatever was going to happen. You know, I knew the cap situation we were in, and you know how many players we need to pay. current and future, you know, younger guys. And so I knew it wasn't going to be like a personal thing. So going into it, I was kind of, you know, open to what was going to happen, and ended up working for the best.
You don't often hear that.
You hear it from Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. You hear from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But not an offensive tackle. And I give Ronnie a lot of credit for doing that, looking at the team and understanding what the team's all about. And the guy that's made a ton of money, because really when you look at it, he got paid, then the next week he gets hurt.
Right.
So, you know, you can kind of look at it like, I got overpaid for 4 years. I was stealing money for 4 years, bottom line.
Hey, that's worth something. Cut 16. He talked about unfinished business that way.
We've broken so many records last however many years. I don't think we really care about it, to be honest, especially the guys that have been here. I think the only thing we really care about is winning a Super Bowl. So, yeah, all that other stuff for sure is nice and all. But, yeah, definitely unfinished business. I don't think anyone's really happy.
I haven't seen you since the big free agent wide receiver signing. Is that what drove that, the Super Bowl, you think?
What, getting D-Hop?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No?
No, they didn't have one. I mean, they needed a third receiver, and I thought all along that was going to get a veteran guy. And
I guess what I meant was for D-Hop, did that motivate him, you think, a chance to get a ring?
Oh, for Hopkins?
Yeah.
Absolutely, because he took, what, $5 million deals? So he came because he wants to play with Lamar and he wants to win. And that's what happens when you have good teams and good players. Other veteran guys want to do that. I mean, what, 3 or 4 years ago, it was laughable. People would talk about no receiver, whatever, when G-Row was the coordinator. No receiver will ever come here. You got to block all the time. Look at how that has changed now. Now, you know, Odell Beckham comes here. D-Hop comes here. So this is a destination place for a wide receiver because your quarterback is a hell of a quarterback. He can throw the ball, and you got an offensive coordinator that can throw the ball, and you got the number one offense in the league, and they were ranked 7th in pass offense. So, no, it's a hell of an offense and a great chance to win a Super Bowl. And if you're 33 years old like D-Hop and you got one shot at it, I'm going with Derrick Henry and Lamar.
So they've been knocking on the door the last couple of years. Stanley was asked, what finally gets the Ravens over the hump?
I think it's as simple as that. I think it's just getting out of our own way a little bit, not being ourselves.
I totally agree 1,000%. You know, when the Ravens screw up and lose, what do? They beat themselves. Mm-hmm. They turn the ball over. I mean, Mark Andrews makes two plays in that game. They win the game. I mean, every time they lose, we say that type of thing. You know, I mean, the Ravens have not lost a game this year. I mean, look at Tucker. Cost them two games, missing field goals, and we drop balls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, Lamar, to me, none of them's been Lamar's fault. I think Lamar's the reason they win.
Right.
You know, and he had, what, 13 games of the 17 over 100 quarterback rating? So, no, I mean, Lamar's the straw that stirs the drink, you know? I mean, if Lamar's plays good, got a chance to win every game.
Absolutely. 410-583-1057. We're thinking about opening up the phones next segment. Let me know what you think about things. 410-583-1057. What do you think about Maryland's chances on Friday? We'll talk about that as the Vinny and Haney Show continues.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk or worse problems, then we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Debora Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Debora.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Vinny, we were talking about the Ravens in the first segment there, and we left out a big one. They paid big money for a backup quarterback.
Well, Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the signing. You know, I mean, he's 31 years old, so he's an older quarterback, but he's played a lot, you know, and he's, this past year, he threw 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Played pretty well, completed 61% of his passes. So I think it's the best, I would think it'd be the best backup quarterback that Lamar's had. I could probably say that.
Now, the layman may look at that deal and think, boy, that's a lot of money for a backup quarterback, but that's kind of what they cost. Yeah, something like that. Well, they say $12 million total, something like that. That's what they cost, right?
It was what, two-year deal?
Two-year, $12 million, I heard.
Yeah, 12.2, that's the high-end maximum. Yeah, so if he reaches all of his...
That's probably play time.
Right. I think what guaranteed was in the fours, somewhere between four and five.
So, yeah, I think it's a good deal. And if you're Cooper Rush, you know, Lamar... Hadn't missed a lot of time lately. So, you know, you're not going to have to play. And I'm guessing that they know, you know, he's got to be a great guy. He's got to be a great locker room guy. He's got to be good with in the quarterback room and stuff. He's got to fit all those things, and I'm guessing that he does. But I think he is the best backup quarterback they've had. And, you know, I mean, it will make Harb sleep easier at night, knowing that, hey, if Lamar were to go down and have to miss a game, I got a guy that can go in and win games, you know, win a game for me.
And we've seen him play. He took the field for Dallas on numerous occasions. Not a bad player at all, and very, very strong backup. But, you know, I think a lot of people were surprised by that. And
I was surprised. I thought they would draft one.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, when you draft one, let's say, you know, you're going to draft one in the fourth round, like a Riley Leonard or something. I mean, is he really going to – do you know if he's going to help you or not? Probably not. And a rookie quarterback coming in. Because then if Lamar gets hurt, we're done. I mean, and to me, Eric's looking at it right. He said, listen, I got a hell of a football team. And if, you know, if I'm going to put a rookie quarterback in there, if Lamar's going to miss a game or two, no. I'm getting a veteran guy, you know, I'll pay a little bit more for a veteran guy because I've got one of the best rosters in the league. So I'm not, I need to be able to keep that engine rolling and not with a rookie and everybody looking like, oh, we're done.
Well, it's an upgrade from Joshua Jackson.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, I think they rolled the dice on Luck last year, you know, like driving without insurance. Yeah, you're going to make it most days, but I was a little surprised they did that last year, but you're right. The roster, it looks strong. It's hard to find a weak spot. And then
just depth.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's the only reason Ben Cleveland got a job, because, you know, I mean, I criticize him all the time. I don't think he's very good, you know, but he has been in their system for 4 years, and you have no depth, and, you know, you're limited on your draft picks. So bringing him back, it's okay. I mean, he comes in and plays that big tight end or whatever at times, and they put him in there, and, you know, he's played some center, so he could play center and guard. You know, is it what you want? No. But he's a big dude, and it probably costs nothing, because every other lineman signed other than Ben Cleveland, you know.
Yeah.
So
you didn't like him when they drafted him. You didn't like him when you went to rookie camp. You didn't like...
I don't like linemen that are 10-2.
He can't bend. He's 10-2. There it is.
10-2.
Yeah.
Nolan, tell me a good athlete that walks 10-2.
Me? No, I'm kidding. sometimes I do. But
I mean, a good athlete, their feet aren't pointed out.
So here's a question with Cleveland coming back. Warhop's your new offensive line coach, the unfortunate circumstances with Joe D right before last season, and he comes in, does a tremendous job. How much of a role do you think he played in bringing Cleveland back? Does he see something there that maybe Joe D also saw it, but they weren't able to get it out of him? What's his role in this?
Well, I think when he was signed, all right, a lot of people had... He was on the market for... Nobody wanted him, bottom line. Because I'm guessing he got nothing, mm-hmm, salary-wise. So it was like, right player, right price? Yeah, and Warhop... If Warhop said no, you know, I'm sure they went to brought him in. You know, and George's like, okay. I mean, because O-line coach is like, I don't have anybody. You know, I got to have somebody. And at least he knows what we're doing, and we know what he can and can't do.
Right.
So, I mean, the more you think about it, it's not a bad move for the Ravens.
You've also lost McCarry. So there's your depth right there. So a depth piece like him would become more valuable, right?
Like Ben Cleveland?
Yeah.
Well, McCarry was never – once they signed Ronnie, McCarry was gone.
Oh, yeah, had to be.
So
– But he played so many different roles for you over the last several years.
Yeah, but – I mean, he started and played well this year, but you couldn't pay two, you know?
Right.
So they may draft one at 27, or they're going to spend – they've got 11 draft picks now. And
I was going to ask you about that next. Do they spend 11 picks, or is he going to get busy? What do you think? Your opinion. There's no evidence, but just your opinion.
I think he's going to use his 11 picks.
All 11? Okay.
I think he'll use – unless he gets in the sixth or seventh round and their board's empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but otherwise, I think he'll, because they need depth at O-line, D-line, inside linebacker, corner. So they need numbers because they don't have cap room. You know, if they had a lot of money, then you could get by with, you know, maybe trading up some and things. So, and I think the draft is strong kind of in the middle rounds. So, because everybody's saying that, you know, you get pick 20 and pick 30 is not much different. You know, pretty much same type player. So, I think the Ravens are going to be fine. And I wouldn't be shocked if they traded back. You know, if Emin Worry and Starks and all those deep safeties were there, I could see them moving back and picking up another, you know, earlier pick.
I saw something amazing about the draft. You probably saw it too. No number ones in this draft have been traded. I think it's the first time in history that's happened. Or it's like the first time in 50 years or something like that. That's pretty remarkable, wouldn't you say? Everybody's got their own number one going into this draft.
For right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there's talk of the Giants moving up types of things. Yeah. So for right now.
We'll see. 410-583-1057 is the number. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'd like to talk to you. Coming up next, we're going to go down to Sarasota. We're going to talk a little Orioles. Stick around. Vinny and Haney show continues. Vinny, you heard in the update just now about Gunnar Henderson. We've been listening to Brandon Hyde for, I guess, 8 years, 9 years, whatever, however long he's been here, and he speaks pretty straight. But you can predict certain things he's going to say, and that's not much when it comes to an injury to a superstar. Translate what he said yesterday.
Well, I'm guessing because Gunnar's injury is basically a rib.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And it affects every baseball move there is, right?
Any twisting thing. Because I've had broken ribs.
I have too.
And it is not comfortable. And probably playing baseball or golfing are the two worst thing, or tennis, are the two worst things that you could be. Because I heard somebody talking about it the other day. I mean, because he can be in the cage and you can kind of control your swing
right,
do all that. But, you know, if he's in there playing against Toronto on opening day, you know, and you got the juices flowing and stuff, and you take a really good rip, oh, I mean, you could really do some damage, you know, because you got to be ready. And I think it goes back to, and I give George Seifert a lot of credit, because we'd always have guys who had hamstring injuries and the trainer say he's ready, and George would always say, give him another week, you know? And I think that's what, especially at the beginning, because if Gunnar does it again, I mean, six more or more weeks,
yes,
you know? So you want him where he can handle, even if it takes an extra week, so what?
Well, here's the thing. As you mentioned, they're opening on the road. And I think the Orioles is an organization, they won't come out and say it, but I think they would really be happy if he were back for the home opener. And maybe that's a more realistic target, maybe.
Yeah, and Nolan, you can get in on this too, but I want him back when he is totally ready. And because here's the thing about it is you don't want him going in having, because I've gone in when you have an injury and you're not sure that you're okay. It's like, because it's like you're at bat or whatever. Is it going to go now?
Yeah.
You know,
you
got to have total confidence when you're in there that I can, because Gunnar swings hard, you know, and like twisting, and he plays hard, you know, and he dives and does all that stuff. So he needs to be totally, and if it takes 2 weeks after the season, who cares?
I don't.
Right. You know, get him totally, because if he's out, you got no shot. You know, it's kind of like almost Lamar being out.
And what, roughly 10 games out of 162?
Right.
That you could miss this guy, and, you know, you take the hit now, assuming that he'd be healthy later in the season.
You miss 10 games in April. You're only halfway through the month of April, and you're playing all the way to October. You got to take the long view on this thing, and I agree with him, especially with a guy like Gunnar, an obvious superstar. I think he's the most important player on the roster. I think he lapped Adley some time ago. I think he is your guy. Another thing I just saw on Twitter, Rock Cabaco saying that Rodriguez is throwing. He's playing catch down there. So that might be good.
It's a long, long road, because he's on a, most cases with pitchers and the injuries, I mean, he's on a full-scale ramp up. He went back to square one. Back to square zero. I mean, so he's going to have to go through essentially another spring training or the length of another spring training before he's back on the mound in Baltimore.
And the other thing, you know, I was thinking about with Gunnar is you know, all the different arm angles and stuff that
right.
he throws
right.
from, you know, and the twisting and stuff, all that affects the rib too, you know? So, I mean, there's slow play.
No hurry. It's a long season. As Norm, just I'm the only other guy that calls him that besides you, Vinny, and I don't even call him that very much. So the Orioles are hitting the ball, that's for sure. If you watch one of their games right now, you're not going to see many guys that are on a major league roster. The major league roster is pretty much set. I think there might be a spot or two at the bottom of the roster, maybe in the bullpen, but right now they know who they're coming north with. They really do. No mysteries.
I don't think there's been many mysteries from the get-go, has there, Nolan?
No, even Elias said as much. Yeah. One area where you're thinking maybe something would be infield, mostly because of the Gunnar injury, assuming he's not ready for opening day, has to start on maybe a 10-day IL, that could create room for someone else. But then we saw Jorge Mateo back in the lineup over the weekend. So now you have him and Arias for your infield depth, whereas maybe someone like Vimael Machin, who's had a fantastic spring
training. I was just about to mention him. He's a shortstop and a second baseman, which means he's got no chance here whatsoever.
Right.
But this spring, he's hitting .421. He's got a home run and 9 RBI, and the home run bounced off the moon. I mean, this guy's really got a lot of power. they signed him to an offer and brought him in. I don't think they can send him to the minor. I think he can opt to be released at the end of spring training if they don't keep him.
Well, he'd be within his right to do so after the spring he's had.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of years with Oakland, nothing really notable at the major league level.
Right.
So this is all really stunning to everyone. Nobody knew who he was when he showed up, even though he actually had major league innings played.
Yeah.
But yeah, hell of a spring.
He's stinging the ball. But if there's any organization in baseball you don't want to be a shortstop or a second baseman, this would be the one, because they're pretty set at both those positions. And Vinny, holiday's starting to hit. And I've always thought throughout the offseason, when people start talking about the Orioles, I had to remind them, Holiday, don't forget Holiday, because, you know, he had a rough beginning last year, but he was still the first overall pick, and he can still play, and he's starting to show it this spring.
Well, I like the fact that, you know, he's bunting, using your athletic, you know, what do you do well? I run great. All right, let's take it. How do we take advantage of your speed? I mean, anytime he gets on, they're having him steal, you know, and then he gets a bunt single, too. I like all, because, you know, I mean, I grew up watching Rod Carew. Anytime he'd get, you know, and he'd... He'd bet 400 or whatever, but like if he got in a little slump, lay down a bunt single, you know, to get out of it. I mean, and that's the thing with Jackson is you know, he can throw down some bunts, you know, and get some, you know, get 10 extra hits bunting.
It's a forgotten part of the game. And you talk about Carew, you saw some great hitters on that team. They had Tony Oliva, right?
Oh, Tony Oliva could hit. No, you know any of those guys?
No, but I'll leave it to you guys on that.
Tony Oliva could really hit. Tony
Number
Oliva,
six.
He was one of the last Cuban players to hit the major leagues before the curtain came down. And we were without Cuban players for, what, 30, 40 years, really? I mean, we have them now, but for years. I'll tell you another one, Vinny. You and I are roughly the same age. Do you remember the boxer that Cuba had, Teofilo Stevenson? He won three gold medals in a row. What did that guy miss out on, you know? Seriously.
Yeah.
He won gold medals in three straight Olympics as a heavyweight boxer. Beat Dwayne Bobic. I'm trying to think who else he beat, but that was the era of Ali and Frazier and George Foreman. Stevenson could have made a lot of money.
Yeah, you know? but the twins were, because we had Roy Smalley.
Yeah,
had Harmon Killebrew, yep. Tony Oliva, Cesar Tovar.
They could hit.
They had a hell of a team.
In fact, the first year that the leagues were broke up into divisions, they won their division. They played the Orioles in the playoffs. I think it was 2 years in a row, right? I think so. 69 and 70, pretty sure. No, that team could hit. Tony Oliva is a guy you just really never hear about, and I'm not surprised he hasn't heard of him. But all he did was hit. He mentioned a minute ago that Mateo was back in the lineup after Tommy John surgery. You know, Vinny, we hear Tommy John surgery usually associated with pitchers, and it takes a long time to come back. But a position player, it's obviously a different deal, right?
I would think that is the healing as long, because you don't have to throw
That's what I mean.
As much.
Yeah,
it could be.
PT and Towson, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good to be a part of it. Vinny, I wanted to ask you, it's really a tough question, but if anybody knows it, you will. Rakeem Jarrett, the Maryland receiver, he's a big-time recruit. He was going to go to LSU. He was flipped. He went to Maryland. For my money, I mean, the kid's just a talent waiting to break out. He wound up down at Tampa Bay, undrafted. He's been there. Then the receivers got hurt, so he got a little run this year. I'm surprised that young man isn't a starting receiver in the NFL. Do you see an upside with him?
Yeah, I see an upside with him. But, you know, being with Godwin and being with Evans, I think it's a great situation for him, because you get a chance to learn from two real pros. So just bide your time, you know. And I think, you know, I'm guessing they like him. And, you know, the Ravens are going to be practicing with them. They're going to play him in a second preseason game, and Tampa's going to come up and practice with the Ravens. So we'll get a chance to watch him.
Oh, good. Because, yeah, I mean, I think he's like, I mean, Antonio Brown, obviously, he's not quite that quick. But, I mean, he's a really sturdy, strong kid, high character. And he makes plays with the ball. I was just disappointed he didn't do more when he had the opportunity when Tampa had the injuries.
Yeah, I get that. PT, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk a lot more Ravens with Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens USA Today. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. Coming up next, we're going to take another look inside this NCAA basketball tournament, see if we can't find some hidden gems for you. Stick around. Vinny and Haney Show continues. NCAA tournament commences tonight with the first of two play-in nights. And great interest to, or tomorrow rather, great interest tomorrow is Mount St. Mary's and American play. Dwayne Simpkins, who was a great player at Maryland, has got his American guys playing 22-12. Xavier in Texas is the second game tomorrow night. And then on Thursday, wait a minute, I got it backwards. There we go. It is tonight. I'm sorry. St. Francis and Alabama State tonight, and then North Carolina, San Diego State. All right, we're straight now. But getting into this first round, Vinny, I really like High Point over Purdue. You can always pick a first round upset. I didn't do a bracket this year. I just decided to sit this one out. But I like High Point over Purdue quite a bit. High Point 29-5, and what I saw from Purdue this year was impressive, but not as impressive as some Purdue teams of recent past, you know?
Well, they don't have the big boy.
No.
You know, I mean, that's the big thing. But I'm figuring that Purdue to 4 seed meets High Point to 13. I know nothing about High Point. I've seen Purdue play. I've seen them play the Terps. You figure a Big Ten team should win that one.
You'd think, but...
No one, you haven't seen High Point, right?
No, I could lie to you.
I don't think anyone's seen High Point.
Well, yeah.
Bruce, where is it, North Carolina?
Bruce isn't the first one to mention them, though. I've heard them as kind of a trendy upset pick here, and I was trying to dig into it. Well, what's so appealing about them? They got a couple guys that shoot over 40% from three. That's usually something I'd look at for a smaller school to beat a bigger school. Do they shoot the three well?
So maybe
that could do it. But, yeah, I mean, Big Ten, their track record in the tournament, though.
Not good.
Some years they get a lot of them bounced right out the gate.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, let me ask you about Grand Canyon. Because what did Patso say about Grand Canyon?
It's a mixed bag. Some people are really worried about the matchup, don't think it's going to be good. Patsos didn't seem too concerned.
Were the Terps favored by 10?
Oh, they're favored, yeah. But I think more people are a little up in arms about them being forced to travel out west.
Yeah, Seattle, and then if they get out of that, then they got to go to San Francisco. Vinny and I were talking that during the break. If that happens, they may have to stay out there, right? You think, Vinny?
I think absolutely you stay out there just because you would play on Sunday and you'd get back Monday and then you got to be back out there on Wednesday. So it makes no sense, you know, to take all those long flights. You just practice and, you know, you either stay in Seattle or you stay in San Fran, you know, whatever. And I'm sure that they have that set up for, you know, teams that want to do that. They have that option for the teams.
You would think that when they seed this tournament and decide who's playing where, that they might take geography into account every once in a while. I understand with seeding and points and all of that, it makes it difficult, but that just seems like an obvious one to me. 410-583-1057 is the number. Vinny, the big headline about Selection Sunday and this entire field is that the SEC... 14 teams. And here's the reason I bring that up. This is right up your alley. How much does football and NIL money and all of that play into this, do you think?
Well, I mean, when have we ever talked about SEC basketball
except
prior
for Kentucky,
to NIL?
Except for Kentucky, probably never.
Right. So now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, you're talking about Alabama and Auburn being 1-2 in basketball? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, that was... football stuff. So why? Because they had all the money. And now the SEC's got money and they're paying their basketball players and stuff. And you see what, you know, look at the coaches now that are in the SEC basketball. The SEC and the Big Ten have all the money. And they're the two conferences with all the teams.
If football's generating it, then everybody benefits, right? I don't know. Yeah. I'm asking you.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, because, you know, it's just like with, you know, the $20 million that, you know, the schools are going to get or whatever. Football's getting 75%.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, football dominates and then basketball. But, you know, prior to this, Kentucky was the ones that had the money for basketball and stuff. And now Auburn's paying just as much. Alabama's paying, you know, Florida.
Georgia's in the tournament. Florida's in the tournament. I mean,
Vanderbilt's
in. Vanderbilt. That's,
you know,
not that unusual.
You got 14 teams in the SEC in. So, yeah, so they you can't get by now with, well, it's a football school. No.
No.
You got to win, too, right. Otherwise you're getting fired.
Right. Well, Vanderbilt's never a football school. So they've had some success in basketball in the past, and especially in baseball. But 14 teams on one conference, it's crazy. But as Vinny was just telling you, you know, all that money's flowing in, and everybody's going to benefit from that. The thing I like about – I'm paying attention to two games – this week, very closely. One is my alma mater, VCU taking on Brigham Young Thursday afternoon at 4. The second one is Maryland. Maryland's playing Friday afternoon at 4. These are great old guy times for me to watch this because I ain't staying up to 11:30. I just can't do that anymore. So I'm happy. It's very convenient for me.
Hey, Nolan, you know what? I was listening, like, update this morning or, you know, or reading or whatever it was about Willard. You know, that he's getting a new contract, been offered a new contract. First thing that came to my mind, Nolan, was who's offered him? Who's going after him?
Right. Well, it was almost same day. It was Sunday. You had some rumblings, very, very light rumblings. There was nothing really concrete that he might be attracted to the Villanova job. And then almost within a couple hours, John Rothstein reported that, you know, Maryland was close to working out a deal to make him one of the 10 highest paid in the sport. And then I latest you've heard from Jeff Ehrman, who's a little more in the know on a local level, says it could still happen, but it's not as close as they're making it sound. But they are
a deal.
Talking. Yeah, a deal. Yeah.
So, yeah, because if I'm Kevin Willard, because I've been through that kind of with Lou Holtz too, you know, similar type situation. And if there's a job, like Lou loved it at Minnesota and stuff, but if it wasn't, like Notre Dame was his dream job. I don't know what, if, you know, Villanova is Kevin Willard's dream job. I don't know what his dream job is, but if his dream job wants him,
yeah,
then he probably leaves.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter the money, but if not, then, you know, you stick here. But that was the first thing that, you know, when I saw contract, I'm like, whoa, you know. But he doesn't need to hurry. Play out the tournament.
Yeah.
All he's doing is gaining leverage.
Absolutely.
And getting more money, you know.
Well, same for Maryland's perspective, too. I mean, why are you rushing to get something done? We like Willard. He's done a fantastic job. But, I mean, you lose to Grand Canyon, it's a whole different conversation.
Well, that's very true. And you guys have him on, what, every week?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Here's a question I want you guys to ask him next Tuesday, if you can remember. The one thing that's really changing college basketball is what the coaches wear. You know, we always used to see that coat and tie and suit, and it's like they competed in who could dress the best. Now they're wearing team gear and what looks to be practice gear. Yet Willard sticks with the suit. I would be interested to know why he's chosen.
I'll bet you know why. Who did he learn from? Patino.
Patino. Okay.
Patino still wears the suit, yeah. You know. You know, and I'm sure Patino suits are probably all custom, you know. I mean, probably $10,000 suits, you know, Patino's. But Patino is always real sharp dresser.
He is.
And to me, I'm guessing that's where Willard got it from.
I tell you who else was Jay Wright when he was at Villanova. You know, those guys were fashion plates. And then you see, you know, the opposing coach in the practice gear, and then you see Willard. And it's kind of a throwback, but it's a nice kind of throwback. Remember a couple years ago when Mike Nolan wanted to wear a tie on the sidelines to honor his dad? You remember the NFL wouldn't let him do it?
Yeah. I mean, you got to be a good coach first. hey, Nolan, let me ask you this. Back to Willard for a minute. Is Villanova a better job than Maryland basketball?
So that was the whole debate that was going on when this stuff came out on Sunday, is that some people thought that not necessarily a dream job, but that they could maybe offer more in NIL.
Villanova doesn't have football, but they do. But it's, you know, it's FCS.
One double A.
FCS.
Yeah. Also, maybe a chance to dominate your conference, whereas the Big Ten's always a slugfest. So different things in play here. But should be noted that when Rothstein said that they were close to working out a deal, a big part of that was that there was going to be some more cake coming down the pipeline for NIL. You know, they got the new rule changes coming where the university can directly pay the players.
Right.
Instead of having to go through,
right,
I say booster for lack of a better term. But yeah, more money was a part of that report.
Our friend Rob Carlin, I don't know if you guys know Rob or not.
I know Rob real well.
That's what Rob does now. University of Maryland hired him, and that's what he does. He raises NIL money. Well, Rob's a big hockey guy. I bet you do know him. And speaking of hockey, we're going to talk about your boy coming up after the first of the hour. Kevin Oesterreicher.
Oh, I just got to tell you, Willard's dad was an old school coach, and Ralph Willard always dressed in a suit.
There it is.
Yeah.
It still might be something interesting to ask him on Tuesdays. You know,
thank you, John Shirk.
Just his view on that. Coming up, hour number two of the Vinny and Haney Show, Kevin Oesterreicher covers the Ravens for USA Today. Locked On Ravens, it's called. He's going to join us, so stick around.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.